If you still have your handouts, turn to page 33. Actually, you know what? It's not going to correspond in yours because mine's Greek and English. Don't worry about turning to any page. Just listen carefully and I will read to you. This is taken from the ninth ode of the canon. And the reason I'm reading this to you is because so often when we're going through a service in real time and there's so many other things going on, like the deacon sensing, holding a lit candle, we don't necessarily focus on the content. But afterwards, we can hone in and understand it. And I think that knowing that we are at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's funeral, and that in our everyday life, we're going to funerals from time to time. And every time we go to a funeral, at least this is true for me, I confront my own mortality. I get a chance to look at the fact that my life is fragile. I get to look at the person that we are sending off to paradise and yet saying goodbye to, who is experiencing their own Passover on the one hand, but is leaving my presence. Depending on how well I know that person, that can really hurt. It is unnatural. And we are called to have faith in the resurrection on the one hand, but we are also invited to weep and to mourn, just as Jesus did over his friend Lazarus. But we are also told by the Apostle Paul to weep and to mourn as those who have hope, not as those who do not. In this ninth ode, I'm not going to read all of it, but it strikes the perfect balance for us of hope in the resurrection, and mourning and weeping for a real loss in our life, knowing that it's unnatural. The beauty of this ninth ode is that it is a dialogue between our Lord and his mother. Weep not for me, O mother, as you see your son, whom you conceived in your womb without seed, lying in a tomb. For I will rise from the dead and will be glorified. And as God, I will unceasingly exalt in glory those who magnify you with faith and love. Weep not, although you see your son, who you conceived lying in a tomb. For I will rise and I will exalt in glory those who magnify you with faith and love. Then she says, I was blessed in escaping labor in a manner past nature at your unusual birth, O unoriginate son. But now I see you, my God, not breathing and dead. I am painfully torn by the sword of my sorrow. So arise that I may be magnified. This is exactly what we should say when we come up for that last kiss and we look at the person lying dead but asleep in the coffin. I am pierced with pain and sorrow at your departure because I love you. But rise again that we may be reunited. And then our Lord responds, Earth covers me by my own will. But the doorkeepers of Hades, what we celebrate tomorrow, shudder and quake as they behold that I am clothed in the blood-stained garment of vengeance. Now listen to this. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It never has been and it never will be. After I smite my enemies with the cross, as God, O Mother, I will rise again and magnify you. This is why the Lamentations, my dear brothers and sisters, are sweet and bitter at the same time. They are bright in their melody, but they are also sad. But we are filled with such anticipation that we start the service tonight in purple, and then we transition to white. We decorate a tomb, a grave, with such beauty, because we know that this tomb of our Lord's is life-giving. It cannot hold the source of life. Our Lord fulfills the Old Testament prophecy of 3 days in the tomb, but it is the bare minimum of 3 days. He meets the prophecy and fulfills it. But he dies and gives up his spirit just before sunset on Friday, the ninth hour. And then early, early in the morning, before the sun has even risen, the bravery of the myrrh-bearing women bear the fact that his tomb is already empty when they get there. One day, Friday, 2 days, Saturday, and early as possible on Sunday, and life bursts forth. And that's why we can mourn and weep, but not as those who have no hope. Death from now on is totally transformed. The stinger is pulled out of it. It is swallowed up in our Lord's victory on the cross. So mourn and weep, to be sure, because it is unnatural and because we miss the ones that we love. But they will rise again because Christ himself has risen again. So let's anticipate tonight and tomorrow morning that starts that Paschal vigil that takes us through the day. And we wait and we wait and we wait. And then at midnight, everything is changed. Death is no more for all of us. Those who have passed on, those who have fallen asleep, we shall see again, and we will be reunited with them, just as Christ is now reunited with his mother. Amen.